This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A presentation of Casabella Home and Interiors.
Well, beginning tomorrow, some changes in the fire situation in terms of restrictions and industrial forest precaution levels and all of that information. People who can say it far better than me, apparently, are in here this morning. Rachel Pope and Paul Ritter from the Douglas Forest Protective Association. So, Rachel, what leads to this change?
Hi, Kyle. Thanks for having us in. So what we're seeing is we're seeing a little bit more fire in the landscape and things are drying up. And our ERCs, our energy release components, is something that we take into consideration when we start to move levels. And right now we're in that range. To go into IFPL3 is what we're moving into at midnight, is between the range of 35 to 46. And right now in Douglas District, we're about 43 to 44.
Obviously, we've seen kind of a ramp up. Things have been drying up. Things are remaining warm, and there's no rain in sight for really weeks. So I'm sure that's got you guys a bit concerned.
Yeah, and like I said, those are the things that we're looking at. We just had that fire this past weekend up in that rock quarry area, and we saw that everything was dry and was on fire and taken off a little bit. But we caught it, and we're at 100% mopped up today. But these are the things that we're taking into consideration when we're deciding how the landscape is looking, when you're looking at the peaks and they're drying up. If you're driving on the I-5 and you can see all the brush around you is drying up, these are the things that are visually that you could see as the public and when we're moving those levels and why.
So, Paul, you're the South Unit Forester. First of all, what does that mean?
So I oversee the entire South Unit fire prevention, suppression. I oversee the daily operations of the crew and whatnot down on the south end. So Clark's Branch south to the Douglas-Josephine County border.
So talk about the industrial fire precaution level changes and what that means.
So in addition to where we were with the industrial fire precaution level 2, we're going to further restrict some of the other operations going on out there in the forest on logging operations. So the further restrictions are going to be cable yarding, except for gravity-operated systems using non-motorized carriages. Those can still operate from 8 to 1, but if we're using a motorized carriage, or cannot be operated between 8 p.m. or can be operated between 8 and 1 p.m. So if it's an approved carriage, we can still operate those within this restriction. Some other stuff is power saws are only allowed at loading sites between or from the 8 p.m. to the 1 p.m. Loading, we're also restricting some loading and hauling, blasting, welding, cutting, grinding of metal, any other spark emitting operations not specifically mentioned in our closure. Some other stuff is ground-based operations, so tractor, feller buncher, forwarder, shovel operations, on-logging operations can still are restricted in that closure as well, as well as power saws and ground-based other operations, so including rotary heads and feller bunchers. And then those rotary head and feller buncher equipment have to have a continuous fire watch in the area they're working the entire time. So
as you deal with this, what do you guys do in terms of checking on industrial operations that are going on to make sure people are following these restrictions?
So once we go into season, our forest officers are required, or that's part of their duties, is to inspect these logging operations. Whether we're in an IFPL 1, a 2, a 3, all the way up into a 4, when we're complete shutdown, we're still out there checking these operations. There's a waiver process that we can go through. So sometimes when we're in those restrictions, we all will allow certain operations that are fire safe and in better areas to continue operating. But those guys are out checking these logging operations, doing inspections, noting that, getting that information back to the landowners, providing that prevention talk to the operators, and just spreading that prevention message and making sure everything's fire safe.
So you must really know some of these areas pretty well, places that a lot of us may never get to.
Oh, definitely. Probably our forest officers are better in tune with our county than most people that live in the county and know these areas a lot better than a lot of people. So,
and what do you hear back when you go and talk to folks that are working out there and know that the restrictions are going to kind of change what they can do?
A lot of people are always interested in a waiver because they want to keep operating, and we want to accommodate that. We don't want to see people put out of work or anything like that, but we also don't want to see a fire. So that's like a double-edged sword there. So we issue waivers, but we're going to go out and we're going to inspect that operation prior to issuing that waiver, and there's going to be some additional requirements if we issue that waiver. And it may be extra water supply on scene. It may be only certain things can operate. Maybe, it just depends specific to the operation. What we're going to require is additional resources or needs on that to have that waiver.
So how long have you been with DFPA?
I think this is 24, 25 years.
Well, apparently you found your niche.
Yeah.
How did you get into this kind of work?
So when I started here, we still had youth crews. And so I started when I was 16 years old on our youth crew, and worked my way up from just a firefighter all the way to the unit forester in the South Unit. About 2008, we lost the waiver that we had to be able to have the youth crews, and we're no longer able to do that program anymore. So we kind of lost a recruiting vetting process to bring people onto the actual 18 and older suppression crew that actually goes out and fights fire and stuff.
So when you were on a youth crew, were you already interested in this kind of work, or was it just a summer job?
My dad was a firefighter my whole life, so he volunteered in Canyonville on the fire department from probably before I was born on. So I kind of had the fire bug, and I volunteer as well. Started when I was 16 at Canyonville Fire Department. I'm now the assistant chief at the Riddle Fire Department, as well as here at DFPA. I'm on the board of directors of the Canyonville Fire Department now, so fire's kind of in my blood.
Wow, and that seems to be fairly common. I'm aware of a lot of families where you go back two or three generations.
Yeah, definitely. You look through even DFPA and the families that have worked through the association. You know, we all knew Melvin Thornton and his family members and had worked for us. And Rory Collins is now our staff forester, which comes from that same family. I have nephews that have worked for me over the years. You look at the fire service in general in Douglas County and the rural fire departments, and there's a lot of generations of families that are still active in those departments. And that's probably the backbone of most fire organizations anymore.
And obviously people that have got a high level of concern for their community because of how long their families, their predecessors have lived here.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a, I don't know, it's a sense of community and helping out the community that you get, that you build in those families that are a part of that. So
Rachel, anything else people ought to know as you make this transition tomorrow?
I just want everybody to remember that we also are in the public use restrictions and our fire danger level is high. No smoking, no, unless in improved areas or in a vehicle. Check those chains. Don't let them drag if you're towing. Check your vehicles when you're going up the hills. Vehicle fires tend to be very common this time of year on the 5 corridor, especially since it goes straight through Douglas County, and we're always out there at those different mileposts putting them out. If you need more information about the regulations that we talked about today, you could always visit our website. It's dfpa.net, or check us out on Facebook. It's Douglas Forest Protective Association, and we're also on Instagram. That's Douglas FPA. If you don't have the internet and you want to give us a call, our number is 541-672-6507.
All right, Rachel and Paul, thanks for coming in. 8:39 at the Morning Report.